Welcome to Grand Rapids Daily. Today is Wednesday, June 17th. Before we get into any of the local news, we have an urgent severe weather alert that you need to be aware of.
That's right. The National Weather Service has issued a severe weather alert for the Grand Rapids area. The Storm Prediction Center has placed areas between I-96 and the state line under a 2 out of 5 risk for severe weather today, with the primary concerns being heavy rain, flooding, and strong winds.
Right now, it is 56 degrees and overcast, but things are going to escalate quickly. By 6 p.m. tonight, we are looking at a 100% chance of rain, and from 9 p.m. through midnight, that rain is going to shift to heavy intensity.
If you live in a flood-prone area, especially south of I-96, you need to take precautions today. Given the recent history of tornado activity and severe storms in Michigan this year, taking this 2 out of 5 risk seriously is crucial. Have your emergency alerts turned on before you go to sleep tonight. Also, if you have travel plans, listen up. A travel waiver has been issued for several Midwest airports, including Gerald R. Ford International right here in GR, due to those expected strong winds. You will want to check your flight status before heading out to the airport. We'll see a high of about 70 degrees today and a low of 58. The heavy rain will persist into the early hours of Thursday before tapering off to scattered clouds and light rain by Thursday morning. Stay weather aware today, folks.
Let's move into our first major story today. The Grand Rapids City Council is preparing for a highly anticipated vote on a massive new riverfront development project that could fundamentally change the downtown skyline along the Grand River.
This is a project that has been in the conceptual phase for years, but the final proposal on the table tonight is a $250 million mixed-use development. We are talking about 400 residential units, extensive commercial space, and a significant publicly accessible expansion of the Riverwalk. The developers, Midwest Urban Ventures, are projecting that this complex will bring in an estimated $30 million annually in new economic activity for the city. From a pure revenue standpoint, it is a very attractive pitch to city officials. But it is certainly not without controversy. Over the past few weeks, a coalition of local environmental groups and affordable housing advocates have been pushing back hard. Their main argument is really twofold. First, they argue that the residential portion does not include nearly enough affordable units. And second, there are deep concerns that the construction could disrupt the ongoing Grand River restoration efforts. Right, let's unpack that affordable housing piece, because that is a major sticking point in local politics right now. The current plan sets aside 15% of the 400 units as affordable housing, but the advocates are pushing for a minimum of 25%. The developers argue that with the rising costs of construction materials, inflation, and the highly specialized engineering required to build a structure of this magnitude that close to the riverbank, hitting that 25% threshold simply makes the project financially unviable. They claim the margins are already tight. The city council is really caught in the middle here. You have Mayor Rosalind Bliss and several council members who see this as a generational opportunity to revitalize a currently underutilized, heavily concrete stretch of the riverfront. They frequently point out that the expanded Riverwalk alone is a massive public amenity that the city gets without having to foot the bill directly. And then you have the environmental angle, which cannot be ignored. The Grand River Restoration Project, which aims to literally retone the rapids to the river, is an incredibly delicate ecological operation. Critics argue that driving massive steel pylons into the riverbank and increasing the impermeable surface area right on the water's edge could lead to severe stormwater runoff issues and disrupt sensitive aquatic habitats. In response to that, Midwest Urban Ventures counters that their stormwater management plan is actually state-of-the-art. They are planning extensive green roofs, permeable pavement in all the public plazas, and a massive underground catchment system. They claim this infrastructure will actually improve the quality of water running into the river compared to the runoff from the abandoned industrial site that is sitting there right now. It is the classic urban development debate. Do the economic benefits, the new tax revenue, and the public amenities outweigh the environmental risks and the gentrification concerns? The City Planning Commission gave it a conditional green light last month, but the final, binding say rests with the city council tonight.
It is guaranteed to be a packed meeting. Public comment is expected to go on for several hours, with dozens of residents already signed up to speak. If you want to follow along, the meeting starts at 7 p.m. at City Hall, and you can also stream it live on the city's official YouTube channel. We will definitely be keeping a close eye on how this vote shakes out and bringing you the results tomorrow.
Moving on to Kent County, there is a massive shift coming in how we handle our trash. The county has just announced a sweeping new set of recycling initiatives aimed at drastically reducing the amount of waste ending up in local landfills.
This is a major structural change for the area. Right now, Kent County diverts roughly 10% of its waste from landfills, which is frankly well below the national average. This new initiative, which they're calling Kent County Recycles 2030, aims to push that diversion rate up to 50% by the end of the decade. That is a huge, ambitious leap.
It is, and the price tag certainly matches the ambition. The county is investing $45 million into upgrading the central recycling sorting facility and rolling out entirely new programs. The most noticeable change for everyday residents is going to be the introduction of a county-wide curbside composting program.
This is a big deal. Food waste makes up a staggering percentage of what we throw away in our normal garbage bags every week. Under the new plan, every participating household will receive a third bin specifically for organic waste. That means food scraps, yard clippings, and certain compostable paper products.
The county says this organic waste will be collected and taken to a brand new industrial-scale composting facility they are building in Byron Township. The resulting compost will then be processed and made available to local farmers and even residents for agricultural use. It is a really great example of a circular economy concept.
But as always with these large-scale municipal projects, the question is how we pay for it. The $45 million upfront cost is being funded partially through state environmental grants, but there will absolutely be an impact on residents. The county estimates that household waste management fees will increase by about $3 to $5 a month to sustain the program's operational costs.
Which might not sound like a lot on an individual level, but it has drawn some criticism at the county commission level. Some commissioners representing more rural districts argue that their constituents, who often already compost on their own large properties, should not have to subsidize a program that primarily benefits suburban and urban residents who lack the space to compost. That is a completely valid point. There is also a massive educational hurdle here. Single-stream recycling is already confusing for a lot of people. You constantly hear debates about whether a specific plastic clamshell container is recyclable or not. Now you are asking people to separate their food scraps, make sure absolutely no plastics get into the compost bin, and manage a third bin on the curb. The county totally acknowledges that. They note that wish cycling, which is when people throw things in the recycling bin hoping they are recyclable, which then contaminates the whole batch, is a massive logistical problem. To combat this, they are dedicating $2 million specifically to public education campaigns over the next 2 years to teach people how to use the new system.
They are going to need every penny of that education budget. If the compost stream gets contaminated with non-biodegradable plastics or glass, it ruins the end product and makes the whole Byron Township facility useless. But if they can actually pull this off, it will significantly extend the lifespan of the South Kent landfill, which is currently projected to reach absolute capacity in just the next 7 years.
Exactly. Doing nothing isn't really an option, unless we want to start paying exorbitant fees to truck our trash out of the county entirely. This initiative is a proactive, albeit expensive, step towards sustainable waste management for West Michigan.
All right, we have got a lot more ground to cover and not a lot of time left, so let's hit a few more local stories real quick.
Sounds good. Let's get into the roundup.
Grand Rapids Public Schools is hosting its annual summer job fair this Saturday at the downtown campus. They are looking to fill over 150 positions, ranging from teachers and paraprofessionals to bus drivers and food service workers.
it is a tight labor market, and GRPS is offering some pretty competitive signing bonuses for high-need positions. If you are looking to get into the education sector, bring your resume this Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m.
ArtPrize has officially announced its dates for this fall. The massive international art competition will run from September 14th through October 1st, drawing artists and tourists from all over.
They are also expanding their venue footprint this year, adding several new locations on the west side and in the Creston neighborhood. It is great to see the event spreading its economic impact beyond just the immediate downtown core.
The Fulton Street Farmers Market is expanding its hours for the peak summer season. Starting next week, they will be open on Wednesdays and Fridays from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m., in addition to their massive Saturday market.
That is perfect timing with the local produce really starting to hit its stride right now. I am definitely going to be making a Wednesday run for some fresh strawberries and local honey to beat the weekend crowds.
Finally, brace yourselves for some traffic headaches. MDOT is beginning structural repairs on the I-196 bridge over the Grand River starting this coming Monday.
They will be reducing traffic to a single lane in both directions during off-peak hours, but expect slowdowns even during the rush. The project is expected to last through mid-August, so you might want to start planning your alternate routes now.
That is going to do it for us today on Grand Rapids Daily. Thanks as always for starting your morning with us.
And please, keep an eye on the sky tonight. That severe weather threat is very real, especially with the heavy rain expected after 9 p.m. Make sure you have a reliable way to receive emergency alerts.
Stay safe out there, West Michigan. We will be back tomorrow with more local news, the results of that city council vote, and hopefully a much calmer forecast. Have a great Wednesday.